I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
Attorney
evil.
General Ken Paxton is back on the job this morning, a day after he was acquitted by the state Senate on 16 articles of impeachment. It's a case that drew national interest, highlighting broader divisions within the Republican Party and drawing in former President Trump.
It looks to me like 9 Biden family members got money. I want to see bank statements. I think they'd have to come before us to answer the questions.
Hunter Biden suing the IRS, accusing its whistleblowers of illegally revealing his tax info and humiliating him in the process.
Talk about a tough first day. The new host of NBC's Meet the Press already playing defense after her interview with former President Trump triggered calls to boycott the show.
Later today, Iran is expected to release 5 American citizens that have been held in an Iranian prison. In exchange, President Biden has signed off on the release of 5 Iranians held in the U.S., as well as handing Iran $6 billion in frozen funds.
Is the U.S. military too woke?
No, not at all. I'm not even sure what that word truly means, but I would tell you that the military I see is a military that's exceptionally strong. It's powerful. It's ready.
Military officials say they're responding to a, quote, mishap involving an F-35 fighter jet. Officials say the pilot of an F-35 Lightning II ejected from the jet and landed safely. But the search is on now for the missing F-35. They don't know where it is and are asking the public for help.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard Human Events. Today's episode number of September 18th, 2023, Anno Domini. We have news about your F-35 craft, you Americans. Human Events has now taken control and captured F-35. This is now product and property of Lieutenant Posobiec. Here, F-35 has been taken, is now fully operational and under our control. Currently, we plan to not threaten the United States government. We will not threaten General Milley, his woke white pride man, big fat. You know him. We all know him. This man throws up the minute he sees someone doing sit-up. No, not him. He's only happy when he's watching interracial television advertisement commercials. Instead, no. We are only threatening one person with this, of course, is Peter Zeihan and perhaps maybe Blippi. But when we understand all agreements must be made, it's very simple, very, very simple. If you follow our instructions, we'll be returning, I mean, making a return of F-35 to you at this time. Number one, immediately remove General Milley from command of U.S. military. Make him run one lap. If General Milley can run one lap around course of field, it can be American football field, it can be soccer field, we don't care, one field. If General Milley can run one lap, televised, live stream, TikTok, it's okay, whatever you like. If he's able to do this one time, shall return F-35, nuclear weapons, of course, will remain in Posobiec's possession. Now, you must understand, how has your country come to such a feeble and decrepit situation? And no, I am not just talking about your leader, Joseph R. Biden. No, your country has become weak. You have allowed people into your military who care more about wokeness and, how you say, chop the penis more than winning war. You have allowed military to become concerned with racial demographic quotas rather than actually winning competition. This is why we'll be using F-35 in the near future here to retake all of Crimea. We'll be handing it to Chinese. They'll use it to take Taiwan, most of the south of Korea, and half of Japan, but not Super Mario World, which is currently in Osaka, because, of course, Super Mario World is a universal blessing for all of us. Super Mario, in this instance, will be given the option to join Soviet Union. Mario, we pledge to you, if you join newly reformed Nouveau Soviet Union, then all will be forgiven. Your disparagement and representation of Italian people will be forgiven. You will be made commissariat. Does everyone understand? F-35 is now completely in our control. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Dr. Malone coming up next. Huge segment, exclusive interview, the return of COVID. You don't want to miss it. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
When I grew up in the hood, I rolled with bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
Folks, I gotta ask, do you get the feeling that the unthinkable is going to happen soon? Because I do. And between the distractions and smokescreens in the media, probably not going to see it coming. That is why it's smart to invest in emergency food right away. You don't know when F-35s are going to go missing. Because as they say, it's better to have it and need it than need it and not have it. My Patriot Supply is the nation's leader in high-quality emergency food. Head over to MyPatriotSupply.com, prepare today with emergency food that will stay fresh for up to 25 years. Enjoy a wide variety of delicious food kits offering over 2,000 calories every day for optimum strength under stress. And don't forget about water filtration and purification products. These are perfect for your bug-out bag, survival supply, or camping pack. One thing is for sure in this world. We all need to stock up before panic sets in. If you order by 3 p.m. Eastern today and your items ship the same day, that is fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what is coming. MyPatriotSupply.com. Very excited to bring on our next guest. Dr. Robert Malone joins us here on Human Events. Dr. Malone, thank you for taking the time for us today.
Thanks for having me, Jack. Let's talk COVID.
Now, I'd love to talk COVID because suddenly we're hearing these rumors that possibly the government's talking about stocking up for more, and we've been covering it for the last few weeks, stocking up for a resurgence in the pandemic. I live in the DC area where people, I see them all the time, and the masks are going up again. We're hearing of events being canceled, children's events being canceled at schools, things like this, all related to COVID. Is that what you're seeing in the data? Is COVID making a resurgence? What's really going on?
So anticipating today's hit, I just pulled up the CDC COVID data tracker. And what you need to understand about all of this is that right now, the number of COVID cases and the number of deaths are extremely low compared to historic norms over the last 3 years. And so what the CDC is reporting is an increase of 8.7% over the most recent week in total hospitalizations associated with COVID. That's not people that are hospitalized due to COVID necessarily. And an increase in total deaths associated with COVID of 4.5%. But that's over a very, very low baseline. When I tracked this last week and wrote some articles about it, we were talking about something in the range of 40 deaths per day associated with COVID, not necessarily caused by COVID. And that's in comparison to 300 plus when we were in a real public health crisis. What I think we really have here is I'm just going to say it, a lot more fear porn. The government made a decision last late spring, early summer to authorize the purchase of booster, quote unquote, products. I'm understanding now they don't want to call them boosters anymore. and that these products would be built to protect against, ostensibly against, the Kraken variant, the fearsome Kraken variant that nobody has had any problems with. And they basically blew it. They miscalled it. And they built, you know, the government-sponsored Pfizer and Moderna and Novavax. They still haven't approved Novavax to build vaccines and manufacture them for this fall in anticipation of a huge surge in Kraken. And in fact, Kraken is almost extinct now. So they miscalled it. They have now mismatched vaccines. And they're trying to make a case that those mismatched vaccines will protect against the ERAS variant, ERAS, that's currently circulating, which, by the way, has very low risk of hospitalization and death. We're now pretty much moving into COVID behaving like a regular beta coronavirus, which is to say the common cold. So it is more infectious. It is absolutely better at evading vaccines. And it seems to be very low pathogenicity because it's closely related to Omicron. So what's a government to do when they bottle this stuff and there's no evidence that it actually works except for 20 mice and a laboratory assay that really doesn't have anything to do or hasn't ever been shown to have anything to do with protection, that being the virus neutralization assay based on mouse serum. No clinical data in terms of efficacy or effectiveness or safety. What's a government to do and what's Pfizer to do? So starting about 3 weeks ago, we had Scott Gottlieb, the infamous former FDA commissioner. I don't know what else he did in his life, not much beyond that, who bailed out of the FDA to join Pfizer's board of directors and is also an advisor to the CIA. And he started with a Face the Nation piece, a very long, extended, essentially infomercial on Face the Nation, talking about these fearsome new variants that virologists that he knew, unnamed, were concerned about, and then started talking about these new jabs that were going to be available. Then we had this effort to rush them through FDA and CDC without any actual data. And in the face of the data that shows what's called negative effectiveness for the boosters to date, meaning that if you take them, you're actually more likely to get COVID infection at some period of time after having taken them. And that kind of brings us to the present. We have no data in humans. We have a mismatched vaccine that the government has already purchased and has to do something with. And we have very low hospitalizations or deaths associated with this. CDC is authorized for age 6 and above. The rest of the world is kind of taking an attitude of, meh, not so much, not interested, and not going to use in children. Most of Europe has already said they're going to stop using these mRNA products in children because of the risks of myocarditis and pericarditis. But our government, together with their co-sponsors, Moderna and Pfizer, want all of us to get this product as soon as possible, but this time they want us to pay for it. I think that's the short version. It's basically, is from my perspective, a great big taxpayer-funded marketing campaign.
Well, because when you look at this again and again, and I just see it sometimes even when we go to, when we're just out and around town, and we can tell when the marketing has been flipped on like a switch, because I'm seeing people, you know, places that we go, the people that we regularly see, that suddenly it's as if someone flipped the activation switch. The masks are returning, they're all wearing them, and I don't think that they were all discussing this, you know, on their own. And even earlier today, a friend down who rides the Metro sent me a message, and he said that he saw somebody carrying extra masks in his back pocket, almost like a concealed carry, you know, carry in case of emergency, break out if you need your mask on. And so you were really one of the leading, I would say, not proponents, but popularizers of this idea of mass formation psychosis. Do you think that there are areas, like obviously I'm talking about D.C., that people are more predisposed to essentially want to believe it, that then are being preyed upon by these very same predatory techniques that you're discussing?
Yeah, I do think that Matthias Desmet's theories about mass formation, which are really Hannah Arendt's theories updated for the 21st century, just to be clear on that. It's not something that Matthias, who's a good friend of mine, came up with. He's just updated Hannah Arendt's work and applied it to this particular case. I just flew back from Scottsdale, Arizona. I was at the CNP convention there the last 3 days, and I saw very little mask use, including on the airplane. I think this is consistent, and including when I landed in Dulles. I think this is consistent with just what you're proposing, which is there are selected populations like DC that have been heavily, heavily propagandized. And for those, and there are some, let's say, social groups, I want to be careful here, lest I get jumped on by the Anti-Defamation League or somebody. But there are some groups which, consistent with your photo there, that are very focused on demonstrating compliance. It's super important to them culturally. And then we have groups, like I said, that have been heavily, heavily subjected to the propaganda and are very prone to this kind of messaging. It's very successful. The other day, we did a search for some expert witness work in which we analyzed the PubMed publications having to do with COVID and overcoming vaccine hesitancy. There's over 1,200 peer-reviewed publications on studies having to do with basically applying propaganda techniques to get people to accept vaccines, these unlicensed vaccines. That's quite a bit more than you see in terms of hardcore publications about the effectiveness or safety of many of these. We capture about 750 articles peer-reviewed about the adverse events, but there's far more literature about using propaganda to get people to accept these products.
Over a factor of 10 in terms of literature.
So I think that we in the reviews that are now coming out, the meta-analyses indicate that the government's propaganda campaigns have been enormously successful. Now, I think that a lot of that's biased by the earlier waves of vaccination because the total uptake of the boosters in the American population, USA population, is in the range of 15%. So that's kind of a resounding thud. And we'll learn a lot about how much Americans have learned over the last 3 years by how this vaccine campaign goes.
I think it's exactly right. We've got a break we're taking right here. We're continuing our discussion after this, holding Dr. Malone over, because we need to understand why is it that government, pharma, are turning now to propaganda techniques, and we see they've been doing this since 2020. Now they've been perfected for select groups, and they're rolled out once again.
You know, they talk about influencers. These are influencers, and they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events, Washington, D.C. Now, folks, if you think I'm a little energetic today, we're getting controversial today. We're getting into some serious topics because we are controversial and we're pushing back on mainstream narratives. The only way that you can have the same level of energy to be able to do all that and make sure you get your toddlers off to school in the morning is with Blackout Coffee at my friends at blackoutcoffee.com. Use promo code POSO20. Why the 20, you ask? Because the 20 gets you 20% off your first order. And if you order a one-year subscription to the Blackout Coffee brand, then you can pick your own flavors. You can also join one of the Flavor of the Month clubs that they have on there. There's some really great ones. You can tell them what selections you like. You can get into their signature series. These are fantastic deals available to you in 3 or 4 bags a month. I go for the 4 bags a month personally because I like my coffee, and I definitely like my coffee with blackoutcoffee.com. You can too. Promo code POSO20. We're going to return now to our guest, Dr. Robert Malone, who's walking through how the studies have been so completely lopsided in terms of the literature on this, where they're not studying the efficacy of the vaccines as much as they are studying the efficacy of the propaganda techniques that the government and pharma and are now employing through marketing, in conjunction with marketing. Marketing is just another word for propaganda. Actually, interestingly enough, in the Chinese language, propaganda, publicity, and marketing all have the exact same word. It's all just under one word. This is what our government is now doing to us. Dr. Malone, when you talk about how there's this return of the fear porn, there's this use of the techniques, what we're actually seeing is a sort of unified front when it comes to academia, pharma, and the government, where we were initially told that this one of these organizations, FDA, obviously, is supposed to be in, and the CDC are supposed to be conducting oversight and regulatory authority over the corporate elements of this. But that's not actually how the relationship is playing out, is it?
No, and I think the covers are off now. We can see the mask is off the FDA now, and we can see what's going on behind the scenes. I argue in a recent Substack that the FDA has gone rogue. They no longer seem to even make an attempt to genuflect to their own guidances and policies that have been in place for decades and often are international agreements. They seem to have taken the approach of anything goes and we will do whatever we want, and you don't get to see the data. That's basically what's happened with this 20 mouse study that is behind it's really the only data apparently that exists to justify these boosters. So we do have yet another federal agency that's functionally gone rogue. I think we have a long laundry list now, beginning with the Department of Justice at the top, of agencies that have been weaponized against the American people, and in some cases, such as justice against the Republican Party, and in particular, people that have had any connection of significance with Mr. Trump. So I think that honestly feel, and I think the data support, that we're in a situation in which the government, you call it the administrative state, you call it the Leviathan, whatever, is now to the point that it really doesn't feel like it has to subscribe to its own rules and regulations, and that the administrators, what we call the deep state, are at liberty to make whatever administrative rules and regulations they wish. They don't have to be concerned about congressional oversight, because that is gone. Yeah. So we really do have, corporate government merger. The words have been public-private partnership. But functionally, that's what we have. And I think you already know what the definition of that is, according to Mr. Mussolini, the word that was used to describe that kind of relationship.
Well, one of the interesting elements of this merger, this partnership of the public and the private that we've seen just recently, that I think the news really blew up for us last week when this ruling came down from the FDA regarding Sudafed, and this question of Sudafed. Yes. Sudafed, we know, had been tied. People were saying that it was tied into the methamphetamine situation, and so they took Sudafed, as I call it, they took the good Sudafed and they put it behind the counter, and then they put the bad Sudafed out on the shelf, and then you had to figure that out. So you have to show your license or show proper ID just to be able to get a regular case of Sudafed. Now, that being said, they were saying, this was done in the name of preventing preventing drugs, yet the opioid crisis has not abated in the 20 years since they've done this. Fentanyl is even worse. And so what's really going on with this Sudafed situation, Dr. Malone?
I don't have direct insight. I haven't had any communication from any colleagues within the agency that are acting as whistleblowers or anything. What appears to be the case is that phenylephrine, which is this other drug that's in these over-the-counter products as opposed to the Sudafed, which is, as you say, been behind the counter because you can convert it into meth, apparently, is something that's been grandfathered in for decades. And the assumption has been that it's safe and effective because it has been on the market for so long. And there was a lot of objection within an FDA advisory committee about this, but the FDA basically blew them off and continued to allow it to be marketed until a recent study was concluded that clearly demonstrated that it has no effectiveness. And remember, all drugs have some toxicity. All vaccines have some toxicity. So what we seem to see here is another example of where the FDA has been asleep at the switch, not really doing its job, not providing oversight and surveillance in a rigorous way. And in this case, it was academics that went ahead and did the study on the basis of the controversy that existed, demonstrated that it is not effective, and we now know why. It's rapidly metabolized in the mouth, so it's never able to really get sufficient levels in the nose to have its effect. They are still making formulations and allowing them to be marketed that are blown directly into the nose, so it bypasses the mouth. But this is a story that's similar to the grandfathered pediatric vaccines, for instance, that were developed mid-century that didn't have rigorous clinical studies. What's happened here is the reveal that the clinical studies that were done were not to modern specifications. They were very small studies. They didn't have good statistics by modern standards, and they were misleading. A strong case could be made that that's also true with many of the legacy pediatric vaccines that have not been reevaluated. They won't open the dossiers, and they won't question those old studies that were typically quite small, didn't include control groups, and really don't even come close to modern standards, but are the basis for this ongoing grandfathered marketing of products.
Well, and when I look at some of this, and I just have to say that from my perspective as a layman when it comes to medicine, is that it seems as though they're taking medication that we know works, like I said, the original, the pseudoephedrine version of Sudafed, and then moving it more towards almost a prescription model and taking medication that we know clearly works for cold, in this case, the common cold, for at least alleviating symptoms and providing some relief. But they seem to be pushing things more towards this prescription model for almost everything.
Well, that's definitely true for a lot of the over-the-counter supplements, including nutraceuticals. That is an absolute push that's going on globally right now, is to try to get these naturopathic or supplements or plant-based agents, vitamins, etc., that are allowed to be marketed without having to go through FDA authorization and manufacturing and marketing. They're trying to get those off. In this case, I can't evaluate the legitimacy of how much pressure there was on the use of Sudafed for manufacturing methamphetamine. But your point about the opioids is absolutely correct. The average daily death attributed to those, and it's more biased towards young people, is in the range of 700 per day. So compare that to the deaths associated with COVID currently at 4. If we do have a crisis of opioids, not of COVID, and I have no idea what the true nature of the crisis, quote unquote, was in terms of Sudafed, it seems to me there's a lot of other ways to solve this other than just having it behind the counter. But there does seem to be this tendency toward heavy-handed action and unilateral arbitrary action on the part of the FDA that seems often to be aligned with the interests of the pharmaceutical industry.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And now that they're calling for the, I actually didn't even realize that, but I just had somebody pull up Scientific American. We need to better regulate nutraceuticals. The manufacturers of the supplements called nutraceuticals make statements about their health that are hard to verify. So they're calling for more legislation, pushing this into the same types of categories that medicine would be under. Dr. Malone, thank you so much. Always a pleasure having you here. Where can people go to follow you and get access to your work and writings?
Well, thanks a lot, Jack. I'm getting a lot of feedback that people are really enjoying our Substack. We put out a lot of deep content and some light stuff. That's rwmalonemd.substack.com. There's the book on Amazon, The Lies My Government Told Me and The Better Future Coming. And then on Getter, Gab, Truth Social, and even on X, you can find me at rwmalonemd.
He's come back to X, folks. The great doctor. Thank you for joining us here, Dr. Malone. Always a pleasure. God bless.
Buzzing in my ear about the boring people at your office. I'm trying to listen to the new human events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec, we're back here live, human events. When Dr. Malone was just on with us in the previous segment, he dropped a bombshell on this program. You heard it live here as if it was fired out of a rogue F-35, that the medical administrative state, because we don't have a great name for it yet, but the medical administrative state is now pushing public health experts to regulate nutraceuticals. And there is a huge push behind this. Listen, this is scientificamerican.com. We need to better regulate nutraceuticals. Manufacturers of a class of food-derived supplements called nutraceuticals often make statements about their health value that are hard to verify, which can cause safety and efficacy issues. Remember, you can never talk this way about vaccines. Never, ever. Nutraceuticals are a class of products such as pills, powders, bars, and tinctures with ingredients derived from plant and animal food products, some of which, by the way, are literally thousands of years old. That's me adding that. The manufacturers claim, among other things, that these supplements can fight cancer or heart disease, boost gut health, or improve general wellness. Pharmacy aisles and internet ads are chock-a-block. That's a scientific term, by the way. Chock-a-block with these products, which are something between vitamins and processed foods. Many, but not all, of nutraceuticals contain vitamins. But now look at this. They're calling on Congress. They're calling on the FDA. They're calling on the FTC to go after them, to start regulating them. They don't want them on the counters anymore. They don't want them in the prescription drug aisle. They don't want them in the over-the-counter drug aisle. Look at this. A study by the CDC says that 23,000 emergency department visits and more than 2,000 hospitalizations every year are attributed to adverse effects of dietary supplements. Dietary supplements leading to, I honestly, maybe if you're buying some snake oil, so I've honestly never heard of that. And let me tell you something. I know a lot of people that use supplements. Pretty much every gym rat that I know, every dude that I know is using on supplements, and a lot of women. And so to help me break this down, Natalie Winters is here from the War Room. Natalie, here's my take on this. What I think is going on is this seems to me like what you're seeing is one drug cartel is upset, like the big drug cartel is upset that they got little guys that are coming in and doing it for a fraction of the cost and actually providing health and wellness to people and saying, we want to get rid of the competition. So the biggest drug cartel in the world, the FDA, is trying to get rid of everybody that's horning in on their turf. That's how I view this article. What do you think?
Of course, I think supplements really pose an existential threat to the status quo, which is a food supply system that is chronically lacking all the micro and macronutrients that we need as humans, an industrial scale farming and agricultural system that really leaves us chronically sick, chronically inflamed, and really dying decades earlier than we should be. Just look at the spiking obesity levels. And I really think that why the FDA, the CDC, I'm of course speaking in my own personal capacity here, but I think supplements really represent the American people's ability to take their health into their own hands, because it's not tainted overwhelmingly by the FDA, by the CDC, but really it's not tainted by what is the food lobby, what is the drug lobby. You know, all of these huge food manufacturers, whether it's Coca-Cola, Nestle, Nabisco, you name it, you know, they have a same and similar, if not grander presence in our nation's capital than does big pharma. And I really think that those issues are interlinked, and it goes back to, which is I think a saying, it's really a tale as old as time. You know, they want you sick and unhappy because they want to turn you into lifelong customers, not just addicted to the dopamine pathways, eating these foods that are built with refined sugars that you couldn't find anywhere in nature. But the sick component too, and when there's so many easy natural fixes, like you were talking about, Jack, that have existed for thousands of years that have predated vaccines, they don't want those to be so easily accessible. And I think the fact that all of this is coming on the heels of COVID-19 really speaks to the fact that I think we saw a lot of people take their health into their own hands in that time period. And what they realized, I think what really the most damning conclusion for the pharmaceutical industry was on the heels of COVID-19 was that listening to the experts, trusting these mainstream protocols and going the route of antibiotics and antivirals and vaccines, well, that might not just be the best solution when in our hands, the cheapest options, you know, working out, eating healthy, avoiding these deathly toxic carcinogenic ingredients that are pumped into the food supply, that's really how you get health and wellness. And I think go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, how many doctors do you remember at the height of COVID were telling you to go outside, get sunlight, be healthy, work out, eat healthy, get vitamin C, get vitamin D, make sure to be using zinc. These are basic health. These are basic health practices. They're very, very, very well understood. They're very well documented. I don't remember any doctor saying that. And people who did come out and say that were routinely attacked during this entire period. So it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me that the supplement industry has now gotten to the point where the biggest drug cartel in the country, the FDA and the CDC, are now trying to get rid of the competition.
Well, and I also think it's worth noting, I mean, sure, you can point to some anecdote where a supplement has caused an adverse reaction. But if you really think about what the FDA, what the CDC, what these entities should be focusing on, you know, weightlifters who just want to take some extra magnesium supplements or want to take extra creatine, or, you know, people who like to take collagen supplements, you know, you whatever your supplement of choice is. Even if the worst thing is that the effects are placebo effects, which you can have a debate about the efficacy of placebo effects, even if you just think it's working, that still is an effect in its own right.
No, that came out recently, by the way. They recently came out and found the placebo effect is completely false. It's completely false. It's not even a real thing.
Yes, but my point is that even if that's what they're really supposed to be, you know, going after, if that's what they're spinning this as, or they want to protect your health, I mean, if you look at what the list of priorities for the FDA should be, I would argue, you know, bodybuilders taking a little too much creatine or glutathione as opposed to, you know, the COVID vaccines that they've been pumping in our bodies, their inability to regulate drugs like you were just talking about with Dr. Malone, the fact that they're, you know, busy funding gain of function research and collaborating with the Chinese Communist Party. There's so many other issues at hand that they should be focusing on. And the fact that they're going after this, I think my main point here is that this is just really, I think, a push, a crusade that is being funded by the food lobby, by big pharma. And I think, I mean, to go not conspiratorial, but to really get into the weeds here, you see these groups are now hardcore lobbying for the use of Ozempic and these sort of weird weight loss drugs that I don't think the science is there to prove that they're effective. But if you look at the money that they are now plowing in to try to get Congress to support the drug, they're using the argument that if you don't support Ozempic, you're racist. You know, they're pulling in the NAACP to start lobbying for them. It's the old playbook that they've used, just like Coca-Cola, just like all these huge companies. And I really think that supplements, I'm a firm believer in them, that if you get rid of those, which I think are the only way to make up for the chronic micronutrients and minerals that we're missing from our very, very, very nutrient depleted food supply and soil, that if you get rid of those, you're going to see more health problems start to blossom, start to bloom. And that really is just a boon for big pharma, for big food, for the manufacturers of drugs like Ozempic. So I think, you know, health and wellness is one of these things that sometimes we view it very independent of politics. But I really think, no pun intended, it sort of is a gateway drug, because if they control your body, if they control your ability to think, because they're controlling your dopamine pathways, making you so reliant on these artificial chemicals and sugar, and you're so depleted of magnesium and these micronutrients that I would argue they have intentionally stripped from the soil, you're going to have a populace. You know, it used to be bread and circuses. Now it's, you know, I guess it still is bread and circuses. Maybe now it's, you know, bread and iPhones or bread and TV. But the food supply historically has always been used, has always been weaponized, I think, to create a very sedentary populace that is not going to be up in arms about things that they should be. And I think the fact that they want to get us off supplements really shows, I think, if you really want to get into the weeds, that a lot of this shifts to industrial farming and the chronic stripping of nutrients from the soil, the pushing to plant-based diet, stuff like that, is intentional, and it's part of a bigger plan to really weaponize the food supply.
Coming up on a quick break, you're exactly right. The communists always go for the farms and the farmers first in every single communist takeover that we've ever seen throughout history.
Hours. I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
So I did a little bit of strategic research during the break here. So listen to this. Listen to this. So Dick Blumenthal, one of the top promoters of the COVID-19 vaccine, Senator Blumenthal, one of the absolute top. This was the guy who was calling for Facebook and Twitter to stop the spread of anti-vax disinformation. Stop the spread. We can't allow this. Who in Congress, because you have to see who's bought and paid for in Congress, Blumenthal and Durbin were fighting hard to make sure the COVID-19 vaccines were put out, and no one was allowed to question them. Now, turn around on the flip side. When it comes to supplements, who is writing letters discussing what they call the under-regulation of supplements right now? Oh, look, once again, Dick Blumenthal and Dick Durbin. It's the exact same people that are in Congress that are pushing these vaccines, that are pushing, and again, mandating vaccines, fighting back against anyone who's speaking out against them, fighting out against the spread of information about vaccines. Those same people are now calling for the FDA to crack down on supplements. Natalie Winters is here with us. Natalie, why would they be doing that? Why? What possibly could they stand to gain?
Well, I think that this story, there's a lot more to dig in here, and I definitely will after the show. Of course, this news is just breaking. But it's a very interesting, I think, sort of mutually exclusive viewpoint. And what I mean by that is that on one hand, you have these people basically doing the bidding of big pharma, of course, that presents itself most recently in the form of advocating for COVID-19 vaccine mandates, advocating for, you know, just the relentless okaying and approval of boosters, you just really ad infinitum. But what I think is the really nefarious aspect, Jack, of what's going on here with this now assault on the supplement industry is it's sort of a mandate, or at least logic, the logic behind it in the same way. What I mean by that is that they're taking away your ability, or they're trying to choose and to put your health in your own hands. In other words, they want your health, your decisions about what you ingest in your body, the, you know, nutrients, the minerals, the macro or micronutrients that you think you're depleted in, if you want to make up for them in the form of supplements, by over-regulating them, which would, I'm sure, take some off the market, or just make it a lot more difficult to get your hands on them. They're essentially taking your agency, your autonomy over your own body and your health out of your hands and really putting it back into the hands of whether you want to call it big food, big pharma. I think they're all sort of part of a bigger, I don't know exactly what the right word is, conspiracy or just convergence of similar interests. But you have to, I think,
They're a cartel. They're the world's largest drug cartel. These guys put the Mexican cartels to shame. They put the Mexicans to shame when they look at how many drugs and how much money is being run through the halls of not only government, but through their own pockets, because this is the biggest drug cartel in the world. That's why you're seeing these types of actions right now. The supplement industry has been a thorn in their side. It was a thorn in their side throughout all of COVID. They're the biggest detriment to them having total control over medication, over what we're able to put in our mouths. They'll take, you know, the good Sudafed and they'll hide that away from you and put the fake Sudafed out on the stands, and they'll leave it there for 20 years and then admit that it's fake to you. Natalie, what is going on with our country?
Well, I think that's just the very point that you learned from COVID-19. You know, you can't trust the experts, and the fact that they're making a full court press to go after supplements now, frankly, I would argue proves that they're actually quite efficient and that you should be taking supplements. But, you know, I think you also have to contextualize this whole push with what they want to do with the food supply. You see the goals being pushed, whether it's the United Nations, whether it's the sustainable development goals, like the 40 cities that are signing on to ban meat, whether it's Bill Gates buying up the farmland. It's very clear that they've politicized the issue of the food supply, politicized the issue of diet. And I think it's all the more curious as they're pushing people really to go plant-based, using these plant alternatives to beef with all these fillers and toxic seed oils, who even knows what's in them. But for people who are vegan or vegetarians, even pescatarian, you know, supplements are a really critical role, especially for women and their iron supplements when you talk about fertility and stuff like that. And I think it's all the more curious that they are simultaneously pushing a plant-based diet while also concurrently trying to make supplements harder to get or over-regulating them, or at least putting sort of a target on supplements, because those two things really go hand in hand. And I think it goes back to what we were talking about in the previous segment, which is scientifically it doesn't make sense to be doing both of those things. But I think politically it makes sense when you have an agenda with the food supply, when you have an agenda with the food and the diets that people are consuming. And I think if you want to, you know, kind of put it to the bigger points that people talked about during COVID-19, you know, not just keeping the populace sick and unhealthy and reliant on drugs, but just like there's been a lot of concern about COVID-19 vaccines and fertility, there's a lot of, I would argue, concerns about stripping supplements, like I was saying, especially with women and their iron levels, men and testosterone, their protein and amino acid levels. You know, supplements are, I think, how people make up for where the food supply has continued to fail them. And I think the fact that these interests, whether they're the corporate interests or the government themselves, are sort of working hand in hand to really deprive us of the right to choose our own destiny when it comes to the food we're consuming and the nutrients that we want to be putting in our body. Something doesn't smell right. And 9 times out of 10, when you look at the actors who are involved, it's the same people who are involved with the COVID-19 mandates. And it certainly isn't good for the country, certainly isn't good for your body and your personal health. But I think if you really look at what this all comes down to, yes, a lot of it is corporate greed and profits, but I also really do think, to my core, there's a more nefarious aspect too.
I mean, look, if the government came up to me and Donald Trump is president and we've got a fully Republican House and Senate, and he said, do you want a mandate that everybody has to buy a MyPillow and the topper and the slippers and the sheets? I said, man, that's a great racket. Nice work if you can get it right and force everyone in the country to have to buy your product. And oh, by the way, pay for it with the taxpayers' dollars themselves. Natalie Winters, where can people go to follow you and get more information?
Natalie G. Winters on all social media platforms. Thank you so much for having me and letting me talk about something other than China.
Aha, she still got it in, folks. She still got it in. Look, Big Pharma paid out billions in the opioid crisis. And just like a cartel, what do they do next? They make a more profitable drug, one that you can't just say no to because it's the COVID vaccine and it's been mandated. They partner up with government. Well, the bottom line is, here at Human Events, we see you get your game. We're on to you. We know exactly what you're up to. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore.